Blog Talk Radio. Let's forgive and forget. Let no thought be your enemy. I've never felt so good. I'm happy, happy, happy than a man could be.
Bye. Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going. Know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30, and no one knows you'll be there. While the jukebox plays a favorite song, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going. That it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We gotta be extra careful that we don't build our hopes up too high, 'cause she got her own obligations, and so do I. Me and Mrs. Jones. But it's much too...
Miss you, baby. Miss you, miss you, miss you. don't you dare deny him. You know the Almighty God that gave the heavens and the earth to us. Oh, my, don't you dare deny him. Because God has made the earth, sun, moon, and stars, calico weapons, semi-wacky weapons. He has created all of the heavens and the earth, all that it exists in between, wal rahmatullahi wal ghafir, that he has certainly created it and made the mercy, the forgiveness of Allah, an attribute between the heavens and the earth. And we are here today to bear witness to the oneness of God. But the eternal question right here at Black Power Radio tonight, we want to welcome you. I'm your host tonight, Sheikh Ali Mem Akbar Abdullah Kareem, right in the beautifully, potentially fair city of Washington, D.C. And it's certainly a beautiful city, no doubt in my mind. And all of the beholders have to bear witness that Washington, D.C. is certainly a beautiful city, but again, a city that has been the center for injustice and for our imprisonment and our impoverishment and for all of the negativity that has come to us has been co-signed by Shaitan and the devil, if what it says in Arabic language. The city of Washington, D.C., Wa means and is a conjunction, and Shaitan is the devil. So this city means and the devil. And we are here in the center of the bowels of the just the climax of evil and wickedness in the whole world, told by the Ayatollah Khomeini, major general of the Islamic Revolution, said it is a Shaitan Akbar. It is the great Satan of the West. And we say today, what is the question that we have on our lips tonight? What is the difference between your nationality and your race? Can you explain the difference between nationality and race? This will be the eternal question tonight on the lips of all those, all of the beholders, all the Soul Train gang, and all the Sunni Muslims, all the Morris Science, all the Nation of Islam, all the Baptists, the Christians, and the Church of God in Christ, and the Church of God of Christ. Anybody remotely Nubian, Black, Bilalian tonight, what is the difference between your nationality and your race? And we have a lot of hosts all over the place tonight. We got them in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We got us some brother Talib, Abdullah Talib Bey is right there with the Morris Science Network. We've got all of those on the west side, Dr. Truth Bey. We got them here in D.C. We got us some Black Lightning. Huh? We ain't got no White Lightning tonight, but they said they got a few cases of moonshine. We are here at Black Power Radio giving you more of what you listen to Black Power Radio for. We have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, on your smartphone, dumb phone, paranoid. If you are, if you got a LinkedIn or linked out phone, if you got an Instagram with no ham phone, we got more information and the most informative radio talk show in the East and what else out. Oh, yes, we do. Bob Marley put it best, but the best thing that Marley told you, get up and stand up. Stand up for your rights. God damn it, don't give up the fight. And that's why we're here tonight, to not give up the fight. We'll go directly to the studio and talk to our beloved brother about this nationality and race. We're going right out to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and pick up our beloved brother. Come on to the mic with us, brother Abdullah Talib Bey. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. Black Power?
All right. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah. Thank you for having us again, brother.
What is the difference? What is the explanation between nationality and race, sir? Black Power?
Can you check to see if Matav Kubu's on 718?
Let's line him up at 718. Let's see if we got in the
718 in.
In the half. Now, I don't see him at 718. He might be coming another way. We got us some New York out there, but it's not a 718. Anybody else? Any other numbers? Let me see. If we get our beloved brother, he can track it down for you. Black Lightning, are you in the house to track that 718? Black Lightning, are you in the house? Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power, we here. We here. Giving you more for what you listen at radio for.
Black Power, two times for your mind.
Two times, Black Power.
Listen to radio for. We got a bunch more out there. We cracked on, open the hash with Black Lightning. Who else we got out here? Damn.
Dr. Truth,
we
have Dakota Kustar Ill.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know we got Chief Stavis out there at 434. 434, you out there? Chief in the hat. 434.
All right.
Can we get him? At 434.
Peace and Black Power. I'm here.
Black Power. Peace and Black Power.
Black Power.
All those in the hat. We're going to open up some stuff here. Get Black and Tyler Bay. Tyler Bay, did we get another number? Or you can tell Black Lightning or Chief one of those numbers. Let
that's the only number I have. The 718. 864-0103.
Get him, text him, and get him a text. Y'all can open it up. We can get the Chief.
Yeah, I'll Black Lightning. Just give me a minute here.
On that subject, and let Brother Tyler Bay open that subject up for y'all. And we got about 10 more online and a bunch more that may even come out the closet. You never tell here at Black Power Radio, because we got them on smartphones, dumb phones, Android. Oh, yeah, the paranoids. We want to tell the paranoid folks tonight to please buckle your seatbelt so you can sit back and enjoy the ride. You're on yet another episode of Black Power Radio. If you want to get your friends to come on in and join in us, try it at 515 at 605 at 9889. Again, for all of you who are numerically pure at heart, please write down and pass that number on at 515 at 605 at 9889. If you blow all of that, you can try us again at 202-550-821. Let's try it again. All the numerically pure at heart, all the pencils and the papers and the tabloids and keyboards and everybody that's got a monitor tonight can write it up, even if you've got a desktop. You can get in where you fit in right behind the drop-top people beat y'all in the night. All the people in there, Jaguars, all of the convertible Mercedes. Oops, and there's that Ferrari drop top. It's hard to beat. And they got the Lamborghinis in the house. Got two Lamborghinis here with the drop top folks tonight. So we're happy on your laptop, drop top, by however you got in here tonight. We're saying Black Power on yet another episode of Black Power Radio. Y'all can cue them in from there. The subject tonight, is there an explanation of what is the difference between nationality and race? Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. Take it away with Brother Talib Abdullah Bay, and we've got the National Chief Staff there, Brother Asri L, and we've got National Minister of Defense, Brother Black Lightning. Take it away, Black Lightning.
Yes, thank you again, Brother. Yes, we have myself and Sister Pakola Kusar Il are in the house. I was not able to get a hold of Matukuvu. All right, so we'll Shem Malachi Bell join us at 9 o'clock. All right, so we'll go right into it, and that's looking at the race. And this is race is when we look at, and I taught nationality to 5,000 students in the Kansas City Public School, and out of those 5,000 students, very few were familiar with the word nationality. I recall being in the classroom, and one of my students asked me, "What are you?" So I paced it for about 30 seconds, and then he asked, "What is your nationality?" So I walked over to him and said, kind of asked him, "You mind my asking you where you're from? Because no students have ever asked me that question, what is your nationality?" They'll ask the question, "What are you?" But never ask the specific question, "What is your nationality?" He said, "My family's from Trinidad and Tobago." I said, "Oh, that explains it." He said, "Yes, I understand the concept of nationality, Mr. Bay." So out of 5,000 students, one out of 5,000 So I said that, start off with that we have been damaged. That the concept of nationality and relating to ourselves, not known to our people. Well, we can point out, you know, Chinese restaurants, you know, Koreans, you know, we'll say that. We'll say nationalities when it refers to others, but when it comes to ourselves, you know, we're not familiar. So if you ask the question to students or children or even to adults, what is your nationality? They will be confused. This is a fundamental question. We're just asking a fundamental question. What do you mean? And then you would have to give examples, you know, Chinese, German, Japanese. So what I'm starting off with is the showing that the concept of nationality as it relates to our people is not known. I recall, I'm going to give it another example. I recall being among teachers, more teachers classified as Negro, colored black, in a teacher's lounge. This is years ago. And I was talking about the concept of nationality that relates to land and people relationship. And so, and I said that nationality, people are not identified by shades of colors, black, white, red, purple, green. And one of the teachers, I was talking to a body of teachers, and one of the teachers blurted out and said, nationality is not the real world. And so I turned to that teacher and said, nationality is the real world. Chinese, China. France, French, France. German, Germany. And that teacher didn't speak to me again. That teacher did not speak to me again. Remember, I was not only talking to that teacher. I was talking to a body of teachers, you know, around the table during our lunchtime in the teacher's lounge. So look and understand the state of our people as far as our mindset is concerned, that we've been damaged, we've been raped of the knowledge of who we are. We've been raped of not about the knowledge of fundamental principles of civilization. Now, going to race. Race is a modern construct. Francois Bernier, Bernier. Francois Bernier, first name is spelled FRAN. COIS, once again, Bernier, Bernier. He was a French craniologist. And in 1684, he proposed a division of the world according to racial types. And that was called Nouvelle Division de la Torre, the new division of the world. So he's proposing a new division of the world. Well, what was the old division? And what the question is, was this a convention, a multilateral treaty? Is this a multilateral treaty where nations throughout the world convene in a session to review and sign and ratify this proposal? How did it get to the point where it's being used throughout the world? This race, once again, the new division of the world. And so here's four classifications of Euro-Asian, Sub-Saharan African, White Orientals, and Lat. His facial traits such as the shape of the face. So here, Bernier focused on facial features. Now we go into Carl Linnaeus. Carl Linnaeus in 1735, he focused on skin tone. Skin tone. So we're looking at Carl Linnaeus. Linnaeus is spelled Linnaeus. Carl Linnaeus. And you're looking at Carl Linnaeus, he has what's called Systema Natural in 1734. And his first publication in 9 editions. Now, he once again, he focused on skin tone, whereas Francois Pinard focused on facial features. But so this construct is used in different parts of the world. But once again, how did it come to be used? It's not a convention. It's not a multilateral treaty. By conquest and European conquest and colonization. Then we got the German anthropologist, Johann Friedrich Blumenbach. Blumenbach is spelled Blumenbach. Johann Friedrich Blumenbach, a German anthropologist. And he has his book and studies on that was known as the On the Natural Variety of Mankind in 1795. Articulates an autonomy to taxonomy that formed the basis for the increasing rigid racial classification of the 19th century through the 1800s. And he focused heavily on skin tone, as Carl Linnaeus did. So this whole concept, this origin of identifying as our people do based on complexion, come from though? Where that come from? That I'm explaining where it comes from. It has an origin. And it's been what? It was what? Institutionalized. So this key here. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Sister Pakola Kusar-Il. All right? Sister Pakola.
Kusar-Il here. I actually had a couple conversations this week, and just going to share some of the conversation pertaining to blood birthright. One of the conversations was referencing the Haudenosaunee Iroquois Confederation. That document was called the Great Peace. Article 14 onward, it referenced the land of America. Now, the five civilized, so-called civilized tribes, and later other tribes added into this this confederation. It was called the Iroquois Confederation, and apparently the term Iroquois was not what they called themselves. They were, I guess, calling themselves Haudenosaunee. One or the other, but it basically meant a group of the different tribes that were coming together to form a confederacy because of issues that were on the land at that time. And I believe that time period is around the 1700s for the Iroquois Confederation. But they called themselves the Haudenosaunee, also known as the Iroquois Confederation. That would have been like the Seneca, I don't know all of them, but the Seneca tribes, the Oneida tribe, the Osage tribe, the one of the other tribes out of New York. But anyway, with a group of them, I think the Lenni Lenape Hawkins came later. But these are tribes that actually were on the land of America at a particular time, needing to form themselves a coalition, if you will, something very similar to what we are proposing, at least the beginning steps of it, for the conference that's coming in May. We need to come together to discuss some family matters, just say that. But this particular coalition, they actually spell it out in the Iroquois Confederation, and it's online for anyone that wants access to it. And it goes into describing that the women are the progenitors of the land, and the women would be known as rienyos, nobles for all time. And I bring that point up to say that because of the construction, if you will, of the different orders, you will find in these Masonic orders, you'll notice that the term noble is attributed to the man, whereas this is a really old treaty, agreement, and it states that the women would be the rienyos. It's spelled something like R-E-Y-N-O-S or something like that, but it means noble. They state nobles for all time. So women were known as the nobles. The men that were appointed or the ones that were in charge were known as lords. So right off from the bat, when I started getting into this study of more science and my birthright, my connection, you know, I know that I fall up under Ananawiya or Tassology or Cherokee. Cherokee, again, is another term. Cherokee is a term that I believe is a French term. It's not, again, what they call themselves. The people on the land did not call themselves that. And so, nevertheless, this distinction stood out to me that we have a lot of, well, through the studies, of course, you would know that land is attributed to the mother, you know, motherland. And so there have been some form of suppression of the role, the place of the mother within society. And this is, again, this is understood that there is an heir. Now, as we are trying to sort all this out, the history, a lot of it is still yet to be told, yet to be found, but from where we're coming from with this current history is enough to stand in place of being heirs of this land, understanding that the slave ship narrative was heavily, heavily constructed. There is truth to it, but not to the degree whatsoever that was given to us. So being that we're all trying to get this together, it would be not in good order to war against the men. We know it's a male patriarch society. We get that. But when I personally read that document, that changed my view of things. And I know from other orders and even other religions, they would like you to believe that the biological cycle of Earth through the mother is now somehow made from a rib. It doesn't add up, you know. And some people would say, okay, well, they meant that the blood that came from the bone, that came from the ribs. Because in the end of long bones is the melanocyte, or I should say the stem cell. So maybe that's what they're talking about. But nevertheless, my focus is that we as we're getting this together, we have to maintain peace between the genders, male to female. We come from broken families, a lot of us, and we already have issues. But as we're trying to put this together on how to move forward with post-millennium, with understanding, you know, got to understand it. You can't just get it. You got to really understand and go off of materials and information. That's if you need that. Most people, they kind of need that extra proof that this is Morocco. They need the proof that we're Moors. They need the, and that's what these discussions are about, is to give our people enough information that they themselves can do some research or whatever is needed to help with the permanent population. The permanent population is what is necessary as we're moving toward the process for going to the International Court of Justice, or what's called the World Court, and lay it out what has occurred to us, what has happened to us. Now, irrespective of everybody understanding this, some of us are still standing very strong in what we know. So we will still be standing for those people that can't quite get this together, or for those people that don't have the mental faculties to understand it, and even for those people that are just in denial. We are still willing to stand to say who we are and what this land is about. So I bring up that as a topic of something we were discussing, me and another more, was the role and the importance of the women. In fact, mute your mic. Thank you. I am a member of the Moorish Time.
Mic is not speaking.
Yeah. One mic on the queen right there.
Now, I happen to be a member of the Moorish Science Temple of America. I came many routes to coming into knowledge of Moorish Science. Initially, I was part of many groups, and then later I came through about four temples. And so I'm a member of the Moorish Science Temple of America. So I would say to you that some of my early understanding was on the outside of the temple, and, of course, inside the temple I got another bit of understanding of the importance of standing on birthright. In fact, one of the messages is that nationality is the order of the day, and that there'll be a time where everyone will have to be under their own vine and fig tree. And they're saying, what my understanding is that you must acknowledge your own and acknowledge who you are. And again, that's what the discussions is that some people don't know who they are. Some people have bought that, you know, the story, the transatlantic slave trade in its, you know, reconstructed, you know, presentation, and it is not that. But nevertheless, you know, I would say that under Noble Draw Lee, Private Noble Draw Lee, in the 1913 timeline, those Moors knew. Back in 1913, they knew who they were. We're in 2023, and people have gotten this, you know, disheartened along the way of not being able to prove and raise the nation, and you know, and everything else. And so now we're in another timeline, and so Moors, as this is stated, Moors are coming to this movement with their eyes wide open. And see things for really what it is. And that's kind of like the wave that we're in right now. You know, how can you tell people that this has been out since 1913 and have been systematically suppressed in every way to tell you that this is your land? In fact, some of the Martin Luther King, one of the speakers, leaders, if you will, of the Asiatic community, black community, for those who don't know, and I'll always use that term kind of sparingly because we need to move away from that, which is a noose around a neck. And at this point, it is, once you understand the knowledge from the angle in which we come from, you'll understand why that is quite stifling to use that term. But I need to use that out of respect for the people that don't yet understand to the degree that we are, that we do. So we have to walk gently and kindly with our people.
You may have muted your mic, sister. Check your mute button.
What's the difference between Greece and nationality?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I cut my own self off. What I was bringing up is that Michael King, he had stated himself, one of the black leaders, he stated himself that after a minute, and he was in at a level where he would have been privy to certain information, that, you know, you're refugees in your own land. There's some statement he made like this: you're refugees in your own land. Like, he knew that this was our land. Like, he even knew that, but for whatever reason, it wasn't taught or whatever from that perspective. I don't know. But I just want to bring that out, that your birthright, your allegiance, or I should say your nationality is based upon the mother. It's based upon your mother, the blood of the mother. We're in a patriarch society, and so therefore, you know, to understand, you know, a lineage, they want to immediately shift to the patriarch side, and that's not an order according to nature. So I just wanted to bring that out. Also, there is an ancient, and I'm actually coming from some of the information that I'm looking at right now is actually coming from the book Moors and Masonry, Moors and Masonry Part 2, The Power of Moorish Treaties and the Recovery of Lost Moorish Sovereignty. And this is basically what we're talking about, you know, being sovereign is being part of a land, a nation, having a nationality. It's all tied in, So I'm just reading here. It says, nationality is inherited through the biological birth process of the mother. Then it goes into talking about ancient nature, the ancient nature of jurisprudence, connection to the law of blood, also known as jus sanguinis. I might be pronouncing it wrong. Sorry about that. My Latin is muy mal. The law of descent and the law of succession. The principle of nationality is inherited and not acquired through political process. Now, I'll stop right there for a second. In the rights of indigenous people, that document, it references you have a right to nationality. Then it references you have a right to change your nationality or something like that, which is that's not exactly true in that sense, to change your nationality, because nationality is based upon your just sangrias. However, up under just soli, meaning of the soil, I mean, you could be born somewhere, but your blood ties, your national, nation, matriarch blood ties is to your mama. That's what they say, whoever your mama is, you are. Going back to my point, which I had skipped, I'm very sorry. I didn't express it as well as I intended, but up under the Moore Science Temple, the reason I brought that up is that there is there's a photo that they have in one of the books, and it is This is a prophet bringing a woman. He's carrying the woman, and he's carrying the woman, you know, out of the water. And on the body of the picture, on the photo, it shows humanity. So it's showing that your nation is only as strong as your women. And I heard it the other day. Someone said, well, you know, the reason why the churches are keeping going the way they're going is because of the women. So I didn't really know how to take that, except for that, you know, as a woman, as a mother myself, my daughter's up in age. She's in her 30s, mid-30s. We provide for our family. You know, this is what we do. We do it, and we use tools and means of discipline and guidance the best we know how. And in our generations, we know very well that the church was used as such an to help rear our children, if you will, them with good morals, good conduct. This is what it was. And so I didn't think of it any kind of negative way, but it just was a little, you know, there's a little bit of truth to it. I think there was one other point that I wanted to bring out real quick, and then I'll pass the mic back to the brother. So coming from the book Moors and Masons, I'm actually on page 38. It states restoring the innate quality of nationality inherited through the biological, genetic, and consanguineous blood process of the woman, the mind of the native Moors of the land. In the middle is nationality. And coming out of nationality is genealogy, ancestry, descent, your national origin, your pedigree, your parentage, your lineage. All of these are connections to the nationality. So before I pass the mic over, I should say the platform over to the brother, just a reminder that the Shem Malachi Bay plan is a plan to address the issues that we have in this country of who we really are and those broken agreements, because our ancestors do, on the record, there are treaties stating the relationship between the Moroccan Empire and the different nations. Whether they state it, talk about it, they probably won't, because, you know, why not? Many people are benefiting from our darkness. Many people are benefiting. Many nations are benefiting from our lack of knowledge of self. So, anyway, I yield. Thank you.
All right. Peace, everyone.
Thank you so much.
I want to provide so clear that United States, a product, a continuation of European conquest and colonization, is an extension of Great Britain. United States is known as a country all over the world, and the United States was not established by the native people of the land. The United States is not the product or the embodiment of the sovereign power of the native people of the land. The United States, once again, is an extension and continuation of European conquest and colonization. Article 1 of the Definitive Peace Treaty between Great Britain and the United States that ended the Revolutionary War. His Britannic Majesty, King George III, relinquished to the 13 states, and thereby granting the 13 states to operate respectively and the boundaries that's laid out in the 13 English colony charters. When colonization, the word colonization or colony was talked about, it's like a thing of the past. Colonization is over. You know, that's Great Britain. You know, that's Spain. You know, that's France. That's Sweden. That's the Dutch. It's never associated, the word colonization is never associated with the United States. The word that is associated with the United States is country. Colonization is never associated. This is where we're lost. The native people of the land are lost because they don't associate the word colonization with the United States. They associate the word country with the United States. Country. So the country, land. This is Morocco. The name of this country that the people that I'm talking to now, that I was born in, is Morocco.
The name of the country you were born in is Morocco. Now, Morocco is asleep. Morocco has been, the Moroccan Empire has been in a coma for 200 years. In international law, that is known as a temporary collapse, disintegration, dismemberment of a state, or loss of sovereignty. To reverse that, in international law, it's known as recovery of sovereignty, reversion to sovereignty, to bring a people back to their original condition. Before conquest and colonization is known as post-millennium. So the name of this country is Morocco. United States is a continuation of British conquest and colonization of our land, French conquest and colonization of our land regarding the Louisiana Purchase Treaty. France ceded Louisiana, a large portion of our land that was named after the LaSalle, named after King Louis XIV, all right? They also, the United States was able to take over our land that was under the Spanish zone, all right, that was under the custodial care of the United States of Mexico. So United States is a continuation of French, English, Dutch, Spanish sovereign conquest and colonization of our land. And so we got to keep that in mind, all right? So this country, once again, is named Morocco. She's just asleep. We have to recover her lost. We have to bring her out of the state of a coma, a prolonged state of political inactivity, a prolonged state of the absence from the family nation. All right, so I'm just using these international law terminology. So we be clear on what our position is. Sister Pakola mentioned the Shemalakai Base Plan. In Chapter 8 of my book, Moors and Masonry, Part 2, The Recovery of Lost, The Power of Moorish Treaties and the Recovery of Lost Moorish Sovereignty. You have there Shem's plan, his plan and proposal to restore national political unity among our people. And it's known, we have what's known as the Imperial Parliament Council. And that proposal whereby various body politics would convene, would send their elected official head to a conference, all right, and sign an agreement known as the Treaty of Liberty. That is a principle of political legitimacy. And that would serve as a provisional or temporary government, as well as you cannot establish a permanent government as long as millions of our people are asleep. And as in a provisional state, it could be 2-3 year provisional state, you would have a fight in written proposal, a budget whereby we would reach large scale community outreach and education would be part of the plan. And in this, also in that position as a provisional government, we can address the centuries of European conquest and colonization of our land, the subjugation of our people, the mass denationalized people. So we don't need all our people to be conscious. We can form a national provisional government and facilitate mass facilitation of education to our people, but in the meantime serve as a voice in the international arena. Through this conference, as we're marking this conference, we are gaining international awareness and attention as we market this conference. There are 30 speakers, 30 panelists and keynote speakers that belong to 25 different organizations. Brother Akbar and Dr. Troop are two of the panelists. We have a wide range of those. The most of the affiliates or keynote speakers and panelists belong to international organizations, NGOs, Moorish Masonic Rites, and other international organizations. So this is growing by the day. Our outreach is growing. This will be broadcast on Brother Matakuvu's World Jazz Media Network on Roku. We broadcast throughout the world. So we're gaining worldwide attention as we continue to market this conference, which is May 18th next year here and in Philadelphia at the Majestic Hall. That's 800 West Alney Avenue. It's $125 for the tickets, in-person tickets. It includes lunch, dinner, as well as entertainment, which includes a Moorish ball. So definitely looking forward to this, and this ties into our discussion of difference between nationality and race. Race denies us our land rights. So our people not having the knowledge of who they are, thinking that they're black, that they check off at their job at hospitals, when they enroll their children to schools, when they have children in hospitals, they see race, black, white, Hispanic. They don't see the word nationality on any form. But you see the word nationality in the United States Citizenship, Immigration, and Citizenship Office. You see the word nationality in all those forms. All those forms in the Immigration Office have the word nationality. Nationality, country of origin. The word nationality appears on those forms. But why don't they appear on the forms that are given to our people at their jobs, at the schools, at recreational centers, at various agencies? You do not see the word nationality at all. You see the word race. So this is why it took me years to understand why my coworker, former coworker now, at the time, coworker, blurted out in the discussion that nationality is not the real world. It took me years to understand why would she say that. As I was working on Moors and Masonry Part 2, and I had that Chapter 11 on Moors and Masonry Part 2, teaching nationality to 5,000 students in the Kansas City Public School. And I have that highlighted at a page, "Nationality is not the real world." That's a direct quote from my teacher. I began to understand why she said that. She's only been exposed on forms when she had children. She filled out forms with race. As she's a teacher, because I had to do it, you had to check off how many blacks, how many whites, count, 25 blacks and 3 whites. You had to do that and submit those. That's called that. Race and Ethics Standards for Federal Statistics and Administrative Reporting, adopted by the Office of Management and Budget in 1977, off OMB. They have it, that's finance now. The Office of Management and Budget puts together the budget for the presidency. The Office of Management and Budget is in the Commerce Department. Commerce, MERC, means trade, in the Trade Department. Trade Department. Once again, commerce, the root word, MERC, means trade. It's in the Trade Department. See? Once you understand the etymology, as I'm doing now, instead of saying Commerce Department, now I'm saying Trade Department because I'm giving the etymology of the word. So now that gets you Trade Department. What this? The census comes out of the Trade Department? What are you trading, Abdullah? How does the census come out of the Trade Department? What does head counting people every 10 years have to do with trade? That's what race is. Exactly. Once again, Francois, I'm tying it all together, Francois Bernier, B-E-R-N-I-E-R, 1684, proposed the Nouvelle Division Bellatori, New Division of the World, and classifying the people with this classification based on facial traits. All right, it's not a multilateral treaty. It's not a convention. How did it become to be used throughout the world? Conquest and colonization. So the race, and also furthermore, in the United States Census Bureau or Trade Department, you have there are race codes. Nationalities are listed under race code 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, 01, you have list of nationalities. 02, list of nationalities. 03, list of nationalities. 04, list of nationalities. All nationalities throughout the world. All nationalities throughout the world given are listed under race codes in the United States Census Bureau. Also continuing in the census, the 1970 census, 1980 census, 1990 census, 2000 census, 2010 census, 2020 census, you have the race question. And under the race question, you have what? Black, white, Negro, African American, as well as nationalities. How is it that nationalities are listed under the race question that's at the same question as black, white, African American, Negro? How is that in the same category? Is Chinese a race or a nationality? Is Korean a race or nationality? What does race mean, Congress? What does nationality mean, Congress? All right.
So look this, Ariel. I actually, going back to the difference with race and nationality, I'm not being witty, but I'm basically going to use what is documented of the definition, and I'm going to read it for what it is.
As she's looking that up, so
I got a question while she's looking that up too, sir.
Yes, brother.
If I could.
Yes.
Okay. More power to the people, brother. This is Black Lightning, Minister, National Minister of Defense. I think what it is. We were brought up to say our nationality is American, a Black American, Chinese American, Mexican American, and so forth. So, as far as it being the mother, I would say it's on the person. It's on the person. What fight they want, they're going to pick up what flag they're going to pick up. But I'm just saying, we're still American at the end of the day. We live in America. I only speak English. I speak a little scorchy wakadimaska of Japanese, but I speak fluent English. So I'm just saying, race, black. Nationality, American, Black American.
All right. Let me say this, brother. I taught 5,000 students in the Kansas City Public School, and I asked these their nationality is. They didn't understand the word, so
Did they say American?
No, brother, they didn't understand. Hear me out, brother. Hear me out.
Yeah.
They didn't understand the question. So I'm saying to this that we're not brought up to refer to our nationality as American, our children don't even understand the question. They don't understand the question, the nationality.
If you go to China, and they ask you what's your nationality, you're going to have to pull out that American passport.
No, brother, I'm not disputing that. When I'm saying that if you go to China, I'm talking about the children. We're not brought up to refer to our nationality as American because they don't understand the question. Our people don't understand the question nationality. They only understand the question race. What's your nationality? What do you mean, Mr. Bay? What do you mean, Mr. Bay? Until I get to give them examples. Why would I have to give them examples? German, Chinese, right? Oh, black. They don't say none out of 5,000 students, not one student said American. Not one student said American. They said black. They didn't say American. They say black.
I'm not disputing, what I'm saying is
being brought up with the understanding of the word nationality as it relates to us. They say we don't understand, don't relate to the word nationality. They only relate to the word race. I'm not talking about going to China. I'm not talking about somebody being in China. I'm talking about someone being in the inner city. I'm not talking about someone leaving the inner city and going to China. All right,
If you were in New York, they'd ask you what borough are you from.
No, brother, I'm asking the word. I'm talking about the word nationality, brother. The word nationality. We don't want to change the question. We don't want to change the scenario. Our people are not familiar with the word nationality. So once again, a teacher with a law degree. A teacher with a law degree blurted out in the teacher's lounge when we were discussing, I was discussing nationality and the principles of nationality as it relates to national identity and land. She blurted out and said, nationality is not the real world. I turned to her and said, nationality is the real world. China, Chinese. France. French. She did not speak to me again. Let me pass the mic to Sister Bacola so we can continue the lesson, brother. Are we going to continue the lesson?
I'm loving it, brother. It's all good.
I'm going to give a definition what is race. Okay, that's what I try to get witty with it. It's in the book, but I decided just to see what the AI system is working with. Race. Race is a social construct that categorizes people into distinct groups based on physical characteristics such as skin, color, hair texture, facial feature. It is typically understood to be a way classifying people into different groups based upon biological traits. However, race is not a scientifically valid concept as there is no biological basis for categorizing humans into distinct races. Instead, race is a social construct that has been historically used to create hierarchies and establish power dynamics, leading to discrimination and inequality. That's the definition of race. Now we're going to go for the definition of nationality. Nationality refers to the legal and official status of belonging to a particular nation or a country. It is a concept that determines a person's citizenship and allegiance to a specific nation state. Nationality can be acquired through various means, such as being born within the borders of a country, just solely, or having parents who are citizens of a particular country, just sanguinis, in parentheses. It is often associated with a person's cultural, ethnic, linguistic identity, as well as their rights and responsibilities of a citizen of a particular nation. I'm going to go back and read that part right there. As well, it is often associated with a person's cultural, ethnic, and linguistic identity, as well as their rights and responsibility as a citizen, particular nation. Nationality can be legal implications, including the ability to vote, access social service, and enjoy certain rights and protections afforded. Right back there. And enjoy certain rights and protection afforded by the country of citizenship. So I thought it was necessary to read that, since this portion of our
Yes, ma'am. I think you muted again. Right. You must have muted yourself, ma'am.
Okay. No, okay. Sorry about that. Sorry, there's a delay in the pause. So I just wanted to bring out those points and a couple of other points. I'm just going to dart back in another direction here really quickly. Another point which we're speaking in terms of giving you a glimpse of the connection of nation, nationality, and nativity, you know, the mother. We're not saying that we know everything. We're saying we understand that we have a problem. We have a problem that has been perpetuated on this land for a very long time. It is a problem that is still a problem today, and it manifests itself in situations like going to court, having a traffic stop, having an issue between two people, one person from one nationality or another, or just in layman's terms, a black person and a white person. Okay, so we know that there's always a different way this thing handles and comes out. A mere traffic stop can end up with somebody being tased to death, or someone, you know, a policy enforcer stating that they fear for their life and they have a weapon. They fear for their life, but yet on the body cam, the person is fleeing. And so you gun them down in the back. So when we don't understand this connection, and some of us are waking up to it, then it becomes more of a problem as a game plan is been planned out to help bring this to transparency, visibility, letting them know that, like not one of the presidents, but he was one of the government officials, the United States government officials, say, what do you fear the most? The question that was asked, and he said, Negro unity.
He feared the most Negro unity. But Negro unity, what that mean? Oh, you mean us waking up to find out that you constructed this history on our backs, and like here you are in fear. So you're constantly looking over your shoulder because you don't know when, you don't know when the King Alfred plan may need to be activated, or the X-84 or 85 plan need to be activated, because they waking up.
Oh, get them. Yes, ma'am. So, I'm down with that.
So when we don't understand that there is a plan, because some of us have woken up, and as the brother said, we're not trying to be like, are you the government? No, we are not the government. We have to understand that there is two governments that is, should be present. One is, as the brother Shem Malachi Bay said, is in a coma. Your mama's in a coma. She's sleeping. She's not awake, and her children are running just without supervision. In fact, the neighbor got the children and is claiming the children of their own. So we do have issues needing to know we have a plan. The plan is to bring up this awareness to our people, to wake our people up to this knowledge that you are needed. I read one of the portions of nationality, and on the you know, we have to thank AI on the AI system, and it points, even the simplest AI comment points to the responsibility of each and every citizen of a nation to give their consent, their approval of their government officials, of any policies, of voting. These, we really don't do the voting thing because we don't see it reflecting us, because it ain't. It is not. In its true sense, it is an occupying government that has formulated and got cozy in the land. Our government is not here. It ain't got a pulse. Well, it may got a pulse because it's in a coma. But that might be induced. So that ain't natural. We're trying to bring the awareness up of the people, let them see that we must help to reestablish the beginning states of a nation, of the leadership. It is provisional. It is not permanent. It is just the people that know what's going on. We're learning every day new stuff all the time. So we are definitely not the nobodies. You know, like we know so much. We're not coming like that. And please don't look at us like this, except that we're here to give our people knowledge and do it in a benevolent way, because I was sharing with the brother the other day, this is going to be a hard pill to swallow for many people. Many people. We're not talking about just our people, because you understand that post-millennium, restoring the people back to where they were before they were conquered, before they were collapsed, that's big, because that's going to cause people's head to spin around like poltergeists. They're going to be turning around saying, well, what do I remember? Who am I? Well, post-millennium, or the restoration of a collapsed empire or collapsed people or collapsed nation state, it includes decolonization. It includes a portion thereof. So naturally, this topic is going to be a very, very touchy topic. I throw in there all the time when I'm speaking to people about this decolonization or restoration, I throw in there the fact that I hail from Baldwin, Michigan area. My two sister-in-laws are Irish. I bring that up to say that yes, it's a touchy topic for people to know. I love my family. I love my sister-in-law. That's my brother's wife, both my brother's wife, and my uncle. He's his partner is European as well. That seems to be the order of the day up in Michigan. But the bottom line is that my sister-in-law knows what I know because I insist on her knowing it. I insist on her knowing it because it's our history. It's our history that we need to come to terms with. We need to understand. People will say they had nothing to do with that fight. Well, we can say that. And it may be very true that you were not back there in the 1700s or the 15, 16, 1700s when, you know, the treaties were broken and the conquest by these different nation states began. It may be true that that was not you. However, you are the recipient of the silver spoon. You are the recipient right now of those things that were taken, that were you know, all of that. All of what happened, your ancestors, just like if it was us and the shoe was on the other foot, and someone brought to your attention that, oh, that heirloom that my great-great-great-great-grandmother had, we know what it looked like, and it seemed to be in your possession. You know what I mean? It's a family thing. It's a consanguinity thing. It's a birthright thing. It's an heir thing. It's a thing that, as citizens, you would stand up to speak for your land if you needed to. And unfortunately, the way this is looking, it will make a lot of people jittery, uncomfortable. It will even make in our in our time, in our language, it'll make a house. You know, I ain't gonna do the N roll word, but it'll make a house to say, Massa, we hurt. Massa, are we okay? It'll go in that direction because it'll be problems with our own people saying that I don't believe it. No, you must be educated to understand this, and we're trying to give you the simplest form of education on what has gone down. It is up to you being in your own skin. Being connected to your birthright, to your land. And by the way, Indian, we know the term Indian. Our people say we Indians. We already know this. It's already documented that in the 1600s, they inserted the word Indian in place of Moorish. We know our birth. We know our nationality. We've been told our nationality. Prophet Noble Drew Ali came in 1913 to drop that in 1913. And then they even had a whole recognition of it before his demise. So our people knew, and they were passing the word, and it was getting out. But you can't have one leader and not everybody know what the plan is. You understand? Because a plan, a mission, an organization is organized for a reason. That means that the leaders come and go, drop down, step up, doesn't matter. What happens is that an organization will remain, that structure will remain organized, file cabinets will be in that order. Operating procedures will be in the book, and everybody will be able to step in those shoes and continue that mission. So an organization is organized for a reason. So we're trying to be organized. We're trying to say, hey, we need our people as citizens. And this is a topic that we never really had to discuss. We had to discuss, you know, nationality. And the brother is right, because I've been doing genealogy since the 80s. I've been doing genealogy since the 80s. Now, Ancestry.com and all these other, you know, sites have made it very easy for me. I'm looking back into old documents. My eyes are seeing old documents from the 1800, 1805, 1814. I'm looking at old documents. And I'm also looking at death certificates. I'm also looking at death certificates. And when they ask the question of race or not, it says nationality on these documents. It says nationality on these documents. And it says American on my ancestors. It said American. It didn't say black. This is 1700, 1800s. So I'm saying to you is that this is language and language and knowledge that we don't have. We never really had it up front because you cannot have it up front because we're in colonialization right now. We are subjugated right now. We don't see the subjugation. And unless you're getting into this, you won't know that we're being subjugated. And then, in fact, some people will even say, well, I have an opinion to make a choice of what I want. It is very true. You do. But to do it and deny the truth of what we're bringing, that is just a motion of a fool. We're bringing you knowledge. for you to come to terms with in your own time. But political unity is a distinct mark that's necessary to go to the world court. Why? Because you can't go to their government. You can't, well, I'm going to the judge. You can't go to the judge. Why would you go to their judge? That's another nation state. You are from a collapsed nation state. Collapsed. Mama is sleeping. She is sleeping. Suspended animation. She's sleeping. We have to understand, this is a point I'm going to break out really quickly, is that there is a scholarly document, and it is how it's entitled, and you can Google it. You can actually find this online. I had it was presented to me during the contract treaty studies and all of this other stuff. We're examining these documents to show the truth of what the heck is going on. Like, wow, I got a degree, and I'm telling you, I'm baffled by all that I've been finding. But
Black Power, sister.
So I wanted to bring out that the scholarly document is how the founding fathers ignored the Klan mothers in making the Constitution. This document, you can find it online, how the founding fathers, and it goes into saying how the women were written out. So if the Constitution, I forgot what the resolution is that give credit to the Iroquois Confederation for helping to construct the United States Constitution. The United States Constitution came from Iroquois law. They all say that, but the truth is, if you look at the great law, you're going to see Rayanos is the mothers. The mothers are the women are considered Rayanos, noble for all time, and the women are the progenitors of the land. You will find that in these documents that is here in America. All right? Now you got a scholarly document that states how the founding fathers ignored the Klan mothers in making the Constitution. Now they're blatantly talking about how you did us wrong. Like, come on, y'all. Yeah. So we got problems and we can't resolve it naturally in this phone conversation. But just to let you know, there's lots out there for a person who really wants to know what's going on. And political unity is the order of the day. Nationality is the order of the day. Black, it is a slanderous term. It's slanderous. It's belittling. We've accepted it. We in bed with it. We hugged up. We kissed up. We are following the steps of the colonial persona by the book. How to make a nigger. How to make a Negro slave a Christian. You know, they got books like this that make no sense, that we don't understand. That when George Washington got a treaty from Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the 1787 treaty, when he got that treaty from Muhammad, that sounds like a Muslim to me. Sounds like a Muslim name, in fact. In fact, if he got a treaty from somebody, that means that it wasn't his land to begin with. Article 11 of the Treaty of Tripoli, it states that this nation is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. It's in a treaty. It's in a treaty that tells you. But if you look in America and you see, you're going to see churches all over this land. And you're going to see very few mosques. You're going to see plenty Christian churches around this joint. So now the brain has to synchronize itself. Oh, Muhammad ibn Abdullah gave the president of the United States a treaty to be on the land. Oh, so it wasn't his land. Oh, it wasn't the United States land to begin with. Oh, and then you do the homework and you'll find out that the treaties and stuff between the Moroccan Empire and Britain and England, the Moroccan Empire and Spain, the Moroccan, and we fall up under that empire.
Somebody mute your lines, please. Sister, I got something I wanted to read to you. You can elaborate on it. This might help, if it's okay. It's just a small paragraph. Is that all right?
All clear, brother.
Oh, okay. More power to the people. I want to read this as because we're talking about nationality, you know. Says, y'all might be familiar with what I'm reading, too, by the way. It says, come all ye Asiatics of America, and hear the truth about your nationality and birthrights, because you are not Negroes. Learn the forefathers' ancient and divine creed that you will learn to love instead of hate. And the other thing I wanted to read was this. It says, the fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic nation. Somebody mute your lines, please. I'm going to read that again. The fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic. I'm going to read it until y'all stop making noise. Please, mute your lines so I can get this out. Or I just get louder, you know. But I'm trying to be nice. I got to be nice. This is the last one. I'm going to read this. The fallen what? Whoever that is, National Chairman, just knock them off the line. That's the way you handle that. The fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic nation, of the Asiatic nation of North America, that's us, need to learn to love instead of hate and mute your lines, because that's part of hate. And to know, I can do it too. Matter of fact, mine louder. I got big old jumbo woofers and speakers from my band. Ha! I turn my microphone on. And well, let me read it again, because I think this is what we've been trying to get to all night. Who's making that noise? Yeah, that noise right there. Who's making that noise? I'm gonna read this one more time, because this is out of the Circle 7 Quran for the Moorish Nation. Y'all can look on the very last page. The fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic nation of North America need to learn to love instead of hate, and know of thy higher and lower self. So I just wanted to say that it looks like, what was that, 17? Let me see that date again. I didn't read this one. That is why the nationality of the Moors was taken away from them in 1774, and the word Negro and black and colored. Hey, y'all going to finish whatever you're doing back there so I can finish this? Okay. You go ahead and talk, sister. Obviously, the noise ain't bothering you, but it irritates me. Anyway, I guess they're doing it to do just that. Hey, Brother Bay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I don't know if that's some of your people or whoever that is. Somebody's making a bunch of noise, and I'm trying to read something very important here.
That's not my people on this end, brother.
Oh, okay. But I know you're familiar with what I'm reading right here.
Absolutely, brother. Yes.
It says it's number 17. That is why the nationality of the Moors was taken away from them in 1774, and the word Negro, black colored, was given to the Asiatics of America who were of Moorish descent, because they honored not the principles of their mother and father and strayed from the gods of their gods to the European. Wait, let me read that again. Because they honored not the principles of their mother and father and strayed after the gods of Europe, of whom they knew nothing. More power to the people. I just thought I'd throw that in, because he is talking about we're Asiatic. We are the Asiatic nation in North America. Okay, that's all I just want to say. Go through, sister. You're doing a great job. I'm loving it.
Brother, thanks for that input. Some of us are familiar with it. So, just to reiterate on something of the responsibility of citizens. When the brother was talking earlier, and he was stating China for China, you know, Pakistan for Pakistanis and all of this, what happens is that we're in a category of being a collapsed nation state. That means that we were a nation fully functioning. In fact, this nation was known as the Moroccan Empire, which included other dominions, other lands that was owned or acquired. And there's a whole other history that we have yet to be talking about, but at this point we're trying to get our head above water. So we'll just confide our nationality to what is documented as Moors. So we know that nationality is important as distinctive if you were in different countries. We're known as a nation state. That's a state within the group of the family of nations. The family of nations. The Moroccan Empire was part of the family of nations. So there are nations that have control interest in the land of Morocco called America that well know that they've got ancient and established treaties with our